Excuse me. We were.
We're going to get
you. We negotiated with your staff.
We
to
are
move public
get.
Comment forward.
And yes,
the problem,
we will.
Ma'am, the
Justice
problem is that.
Grant.
Yes,
the
and we're going
is
to
that
move it
Justice
forward.
Oscar Grant.
Members of the community don't have time to wait till the completion of all of your administrative committees in order to speak to you on this matter.
We have two
no,
more
Justice
items.
Oscar
They're
Grant.
Not very long, and we will get to you as soon as we finish that. So please sit down.
Ms. Murray, we can't
please
wait
sit
for
down,
Justice
Chris
Oscar
Grant.
Sit down.
We have members
Justice
who need
Oscar
to leave because
Grant.
They have things
Justice
to do.
Justice Oscar Grant.
We're asking you to sit down. We'll be done in about 5 more minutes.
5 minutes.
5 minutes. We'll stand up again in 5 minutes if
okay,
you don't give us time.
Yes, the board previously approved and ratified the agreement with SEIU Local 1020 with the exception of Section 5.2, which had to do with the district suspension of 1.627, and I'm here today to ask your ratification. The complete agreement at this time, the summary is in your package.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and open the panel committee. And I think, Carrie, you're going to do the legislative
yes.
update.
Good morning, members. This is a legislative update on the BART citizen oversight proposal. With the approval August 13th by the BART board of the citizen oversight process for the BART Police Department, staff and our directors have been working with our state legislative delegation to move a bill which will make necessary amendments to the BART Act, allowing citizen oversight to be implemented this year. Over the last 2 weeks, the 4 BART Police Department Review Committee members have visited Sacramento twice and held a series of meetings in search of an author for our bill and to update delegation members about our progress. We now have a bill, AB 16, and Assemblyman Sandre Swanson of Oakland has agreed to sponsor the bill. Our request for help was fortified by strong advocacy of a number of community members who participated in the BART review process. We still face a steep uphill climb in Sacramento in order to get AB 16 moved through both houses and on the governor's desk for a signature before the session ends on September 11, 2009. We have been cautioned by Assemblymember Swanson and all members of the Bay Area delegation about the difficulty of our endeavor. Going forward, we need to minimize any serious level of opposition because our bill will not keep moving forward without the full-throated support and pressure from members of the Bay Area delegation. Another key point is that Assemblymember Amiano is currently carrying forward a prescriptive bill about BART police oversight, which is AB 312. The bill did not move out of its first policy committee this year. It was blocked by the Police Officers Association, but the assembly member told us this week that he would like to try again next year to move his bill. He has also been recently made chair of the Public Safety Committee in the assembly, and AB 16 will have to pass through his committee this year if we are to be successful. After meeting with BART board members this week, Assemblymember Amiano has promised to consider helping us to get a rule waiver to allow his bill to be heard in committee and to work with our author on AB 16. On August 24th, BART board members held a press conference with approximately 10 supporters, stressing to our state delegation the urgency of implementing citizen oversight program this year. The public voices have been very helpful. Yesterday, we were told by Assemblymember Swanson's staff that he will eliminate one sentence from the amendments given to him by BART in order to quiet some opposition from PORAC, the Police Officers Advocacy Group in Sacramento, which Assemblymember Swanson believes will oppose our bill and successfully kill it this year. PORAC has indicated that it will oppose our bill unless it is amended to eliminate the authority given to the BART board for disciplinary action against police officers. PORAC has historically opposed any language that would alter the disciplinary responsibilities of the general manager. And Assemblymember Swanson has told us that he has agreed to go forward in that direction. BART staff and Sacramento advocates will stay in close contact with our author and his staff to expedite approval of AB 16 this year. We will continue to work with the community and keep them updated and involved every step of the way. That's my report.
Thank you, Carrie. And I just wondered if my colleagues on the board want to speak before they hear the public, or can we hear the public comments?
Let's go ahead.
Can we? Okay. Well, our first speaker would be Mr. Johnson. Mr. C. Johnson.
Good morning, board. As you know, my name is Cephas Johnson, and Barbara Johnson is my sister, the mother of Oscar Grant, who was the now deceased individual that was killed on the BART platform on New Year's Day. I'm here because of this citizen oversight report. And for many months, we worked consistently and hard to actually get something that we believe as a community would work in independent eyes, in a sense, to see what's happening with the BART policing itself. And as I look at this Exhibit A, the BART Citizen Oversight Model, it says the purpose is to provide an effective, independent citizen oversight system that promotes integrity and encourages systematic change and improvement in the police services BART provides to the public by ensuring that internal police accountability systems function properly. And pretty much with that said, when we go to Chapter 1-4, Duties and Responsibilities, Section D, says, it goes on to say, and this is my concern, and I'm sure the community concern, and my colleagues will speak on that. If the citizen board disagrees with the general manager with a supermajority, two-thirds majority, they may appeal to the BART Board of Directors. To my understanding, that section is being eliminated, and it gives us grave concern. On the surface, to me, it appears that, with that being eliminated, things are remaining the same. The BART, the Citizen Review Board Committee that is formed, will have no real power to appeal a disagreement with the general manager when it comes to some form of discipline. And if we have no way to appeal it but to the chief of police, to me, things has not changed. And that's our concern. You know, and initially on Monday, when I shared with my sister the great news that the BART board was for this change and was working really hard with the community to bring about change to the system that, as we know, existed, that was flawed, she was extremely excited. But in the last 24 hours, there's been a major change that has actually inflicted some pain and, again, anger and sadness. It is our hope, it is my family's hope, and of course the community's hope, that this change that is recommended by Assemblyman Swanson is not truly acceptable to us. And it raises grave concern. But I'm going to let Minister Muhammad really reflect on how we feel about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Muhammad, you're next anyway.
Members of the board and community, as we know months ago, after the Public Safety Committee in the State Assembly failed to vote on Assembly Bill 312 presented by Assemblymember Amiano, members of that committee claimed that their desire was that BART accepted your appeal to create an oversight model of its own. I and some of you participated in a public process over 6 months to craft a model of oversight that would give final oversight to the citizens and or the elected officials to ensure transparency and that the discipline of officers is not the sole duty of the police or of the general manager. We see in the murder of Oscar Grant that police do not generally police themselves well. In fact, we see in the world of business that managers don't tend to regulate themselves. So if we are operating in good faith in crafting legislation, BART lobbyists should have included the same subcommittee members in the legislative draft and potential amendments. I had to hear of legislative changes by way of phone calls and emails, not from the part of the committee that I served with, but just in the whirlwind. If BART were sincere, any consideration for legislative changes would have first included the community. If BART were sincere, we would have already demonstrated good faith by the removal of every officer who participated in the particularly in light of the Myers-Navé report bearing witness to what the community has stated all along. After witnessing the many police unions stand in Sacramento against AB 312, fearing that it would establish a precedent for elected boards to play a role in the disciplinary actions against its employed police union officers, let's be clear, Mr. Amiano wasn't wrong. He was right. When we in the subcommittee felt that the elected board should have final disciplinary say if there is dispute, the subcommittee was not wrong. The subcommittee was right. The question becomes, when this legislative change occurs, can it ever be reversed? Now, let me close by stating that in the legislation, which we did not write together, there are weaknesses implied in it already.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's been stated that the model itself was an imperfect model. Someone said to me, well, if we remove some of these line items, we get 75%. No, we didn't have 100% from the beginning. 100% from the beginning would have given the Citizen Review Board total control. That did not happen. Now, the point here is, in the legislative amendment, it begins with an inherent weakness. It says the board may establish an office of auditor. Well, no, it should say the board is required. The board shall. The board will. Because in that language alone, it leaves the board an exit strategy. That it can gather itself together again and say, we don't want this model next year. Because it doesn't say the board is required. It doesn't say that the board shall. It doesn't say the board will. It says the board may. And in closing, that element that's been struck from the original writing is even more concerning. So if it removes you, the difference between you and the general manager in this debate is you are an elected official. Meaning that any of these can sit in the seat that you're sitting in if we choose to run for that office.
Right.
Now, that is to say that you, as an elected official, are accountable to the people. So you should hold accountable law enforcement officers, employees. It doesn't make sense to me that the general manager that you hire can involve themselves in disciplinary actions, but you have no say-so over the matter while the general manager works for you. If the general manager can speak to it, you certainly should speak to it, but the committee carefully crafted it so there'd be a series of checks and balances before it even get to your table. So to remove you from the table is to remove the public from the table, because at any turn, you can be elected out and we can be elected in and no. There would be someone that would stand for justice in matters of police brutality, abuse, wrongful death, and in this instance, not only was it all of those things, it was actually an instance of police wilding.
Jack Bryson.
Thank you for our time. That's our community leader right there. There's one thing I want to say, like, Mr. Muhammad, he's been our shield for Oscar Grant. Without him, a lot of this wouldn't have been done.
Right.
And the people that you had up here the other day for the cameras and the news, mm-hmm. where are they now?
Come on.
Mm-hmm. I don't see Angus Brown here. I don't see the other young man. I've never seen him in Sacramento. I never seen when he took us to Sacramento to march for justice for Oscar Grant. They've never been here. So that's our community leader right there. And I'm here just to speak. My name is Jack Barson. My two sons were with Oscar Grant the night he was murdered, along with their other friends. So I understand about the oversight, but I'm speaking, if I was to speak to Oscar right now, or my sons, or the other young men, they don't want to wait on the oversight for Tony Parole and Chief G to be fired. Why can't this happen now? Why do we have to wait 6 months? We already have to wait 6 months for Chief G to resign. He should be fired now, because every time he speaks, he just makes the community more and more upset.
That's right.
So if Oscar Grant were alive today, not only would he want justice for what took place on that platform, not just justice, he would want the firing of Chief G, Tony Parole, and all the other officers for what they did to Oscar Grant, and also what they did to what you guys keep excluding. It's the whole picture. His friends who were assaulted and jailed after Oscar Grant was murdered. You keep forgetting about the friends. And Safina, Jackie, Nigel, John 2, Mike, Chris, Carlos, Mario, and Jamil, and June. Yes, he would want these police officers fired, just like these young men want them fired. It seems like what Bart is trying to do is stall this as long as they can. There is no excuse. These young men told the truth, and you see that they told the truth, and what Myers and Nave have agreed with them. These young men didn't lie on that platform. It was your police officer that lied.
That's right.
And when you lie, that's insubordination.
That's right.
You should be automatically fired. A murder was committed. A murder was committed for no reason. And these officers are on paid vacation. They are getting paid while Uncle Bobby's suffering. This whole community is suffering. And I'm pretty sure you have good police officers. This young man right here, when he came in, he shook my hand. Shook my hand. I'm pretty sure if these officers were on that platform, Oscar Grant would be alive today. You know, but when everyone else looks at these police officers, they're looking at these police officers as Chief G and Tony Parole.
That's right.
Until you get rid of Tony Parole and the other officers and Chief G, then the shadow will be taken from these officers. These officers will be looking at Chief G. When you held that press conference Monday, it was kind of, it built up a lot of anger, because you invited people to stand up here and speak to the community when, like I said, I've never seen none of these people that were speaking. And we got Dr. Pascal, who's been immediate enforce in the community. Like I said, everyone. So I'm saying, if you want to build a bridge and you want to, you say you want to do the right thing, please don't make us suffer anymore. Please fire Chief G and Tony Parole and the other officers. Then that will be the beginning of justice for Oscar Grant. And then that will open the light where maybe we can extend a handshake or a hug to the rest of the police officers and try to make this community get along. Until you don't. If you keep them on the police force, you'll never close that gap. Thank you.
Ramona Tasco.
Good morning. Let me first say that I'm especially glad that the preliminary hearing has revealed facts that are indisputable, and that as a community and as one of the leaders of the community that has been engaged since early January in this matter, we feel partially vindicated, that we can come here and exercise a degree of calm about the facts. And at the same time, have an expectation that the board will hear us respectfully. I am very pleased that the Citizen Review Committee concept has been diligently examined under the guidance of Ms. Sweet and Ms. Allen. That today we are looking at a proposed change of major substance, and the community only finding out about it yesterday is seriously problematic, particularly when you consider the fact that the press conference of this past Monday, which I was not present at, had at least four people present who have not been actively engaged in the matter of Oscar Grant and the secret message to Oscar Grant. They were invited to the podium to speak as if they were representing our voice. And though some of them may have said some positive things, they do not represent us, and the mere fact that they were present gave a false appearance to the public that saw the press conference that there was strong community support. That needs to be corrected. It was not the case. And I suspect that they are very nice people. I know most of them, but they were not engaged. The second thing I want to say to you is that just a moment ago I had a conversation in the hallway with Chief G. There were no promises that it would be a private conversation. It was spoken publicly. I asked him whether or not, in the interest of respect for the community and the concerns that have been expressed by the community, in the interest of the fact that he has specifically told us since January that the BART police officers have been operating judiciously. And in the interest of the fact that the preliminary hearing findings contradict him. And in the interest of the fact that the Myers-Nave report contradicts him. And in light of the fact that he has agreed to take his retirement at the end of this year, would it not in fact be a gracious move on his part to resign today? And we were told, or I was told, that because this happened on his watch, the same thing he told me in January, he felt it was his obligation to stand with the officers. It does not help BART to have a police chief who comes up short show loyalty to BART by saying, "I'll stick around and help you." He is the fox in the hen house, and he needs to go. And if he doesn't voluntarily go, he needs his resignation asked for yesterday. And the fact that the board has not asked that, or the general manager has not asked that, is problematic. Chief G told me that he is not in opposition, that he is in opposition to Myers-Nave, that he does not find it to be accurate. That's seriously problematic. I am not slandering him. That is his position. And if he would say it to me, I'm certain he has said it to you. And if he has not said it to you, someone here needs to ask him, did he in fact say it? Dorothy Dauber, who I suspect is a very nice lady. In reviewing her profile from the internet, it seems you've been here for close to a dozen years. And in the course of a dozen years, this organization has not moved past 1970 in its policies in policing. That happened under your watch. And on frequent occasions since January, your response to the public has been to suggest that BART is doing all that it can and that it is in compliance with its policies. That's problematic. I am today, once again, calling for your resignation. So today, just to close, I don't intend
that this meeting deteriorate to a shouting match. There is no reason why it should have to.
That's right.
Every one of you on this board knows what happened on the night of January the 1st.
That's right.
And if you truly respect this community, you will step to the plate and do the things that need to be done. Anthony Peroni needs to be fired. There are several other officers who were complicit with Anthony Peroni. I know it for a fact because I was in the courtroom every morning of the preliminary hearing. I have reviewed the transcript that I saw and heard as it was unfolding. The facts are there. And we can color it up with a press conference that brings together hand-picked so-called representatives of the community to give the appearance that we now have synergy in our work. But the fact of the matter is that we don't. You are still the opposition until you do right. And today we are calling for you to do right. Dorothy Duggar needs to go. Chief G needs to go yesterday, not December the 31st. He needs to go, not at his will, but on the demand of the board. Anthony Peroni needs to be fired yesterday, not after the trial that occurs in October. And other officers who were complicit need to either be suspended or fired. Thank you.
Kriston and then Diana Blanchard. I'm sorry, Dana Blanchard.
Hi. Hello. I don't know how to follow that up. Dr. Tasco said what we're all thinking. She reiterated our demands. We've been here since January with those demands. We asked you, one of our demands you actually met, which we very much appreciated, was our demand for an independent investigation. We didn't necessarily like how you chose to do that, but you did do that. And we waited diligently for the results of that independent investigation. Those are out now. And I'll remind you that since that time, we've been honest with you. We've told you what we want. We've told you what you think to your face. We haven't obfuscated. We haven't gamed you. We haven't tried to trick you. We entered in very good faith into a process in which we have similar interests, which is establishing civilian oversight for the BART Police Department. We entered into good faith. We sat next to you. We debated. We may not agree, but we entered into good faith.
That's right.
You had a press conference this Monday regarding civilian oversight over the BART Police, but you have completely neglected the parallel process of accountability that the community has been demanding since day one. And the Myers-Nabe report is a key element of that. The Myers-Nabe report confirms everything that we've said all along. The trial transcripts confirmed everything that we've said all along. And yet to date, BART has not stood up and taken any action whatsoever to hold anybody accountable for anything. And I'll remind you, Chief G resigning is not an action you took. That's an action he took. The same way that Johannes Messerly's resignation was not an action Chief G took.
Right.
That's an action he allowed Johannes Messerly to take.
That's right.
Because it was in Johannes Messerly's best interest to do it that way. Mm-hmm. So now we're here before you. I'll reiterate our demands. We want you to fire Chief G. If he won't resign today, fire him tomorrow. We want you to fire Dorothy Duggar. If she won't resign today, fire her tomorrow. We want you to fire Tony Peroni. He won't resign today. Fire him tomorrow. We want you to fire Marisol Domenici. Had a very large role that night. She won't resign. Fire her.
And lastly, we want you to do the same thing with the Myers-Naave report and the process of accountability that you did with Please Review. We want you to have a press conference. Go and tell the public what came out of the Myers-Naave report. Don't just release it on the internet. Have a press conference and tell us what. We know you can't release the private report. Tell us what actions BART is taking in response to the personnel recommendations of the internal affairs investigation that you commissioned. Otherwise, what's the point of commissioning it? So we expect these actions in short order. There's no need to wait any longer. Everything is in line. Everything confirms what we've been telling you all along. So in 2 weeks, we're going to be back. And if BART hasn't had a press conference, there'll be more of us here. And we'll have our own press conference at the BART board meeting.
Dana Blanchard?
She's not here. Bobby's going to speak. She left. She signed up.
Since Dana has left, it's been requested that I share my last thought on what's going on today. You know, it is my belief that had Chief G, or even the director, Gordon Duggar, had taken action according to what had transpired in that bathroom, we probably wouldn't be here today. But that didn't occur. And because of that, the community has lost faith in, of course, Chief G and Gordon Duggar. Now, it is my belief that, as you have heard earlier, especially by Christoph, that what the community demands are, if a decision to make good on those demands is made today, in a sense by the director herself, Kirby Duggar, in the removal of the police officers who, as we know, lied in testimony and created or committed what we consider criminal acts. If the director is truly running BART and know this to be a fact, there's a decision that needs to be made by her today. And that decision can only reflect the true removal first of those police officers who committed wrong, namely Tony Perone, of course, Dominici, and then to really take into consideration of Chief D.G. statements concerning whether anything wrong or not was committed on that platform. We all know that there was some wrong committed. We're all fully aware that these officers need to be disciplined. So we ask as a community, and I personally ask you, Dorothy Douglas, to make the right decision by the removal of them, because the true emphasis falls back on you. You head this organization. They work for you. Of course, the BART board should have some say in this. But the way the AB 16 is going to be written is totally going to eliminate you even giving any inference of what you suggest may be appropriate to the community. But it hasn't passed yet. So we ask that you also suggest, not suggest, but state to Dorothy Duggar that some action on behalf of what the community has suggested and requested be adhered to. We ask that. I ask that for my sister. I ask that for my nephew, because that's what he wants.
Exactly.
What happened on that platform was wrong.
Wrong. That's right.
And it's time for BART to do the right thing.
Right. That's right.
And then David?
I wasn't going to come up because everything has been said, and I don't need to reiterate, but I just want to just point out a few things. Mr. Fang, I see every time we come here, you act so disrespectful, and I'm tired of seeing your face every time you smirking, look here, rocking like you don't care what we're saying. A man's life is lost, and you act like, you know, it's a joke up here, like we're just in your way, like we're taking up too much of your time. And I'm getting tired every time you come up here, you look like that. And then where you was at when the press conference was, what happened Monday?
where you was at? And where was the other cat, Mr. Keller, when the press conference came? When y'all supposed to be in support of the press conference? Y'all in support of justice? Huh? Where you was at? You had all the people of color up there. You wasn't there, but the rest of the people, you had all the black folks up there for the press conference, but none of the white folks was up there. What is that saying to us? And then you're going to have the youth who ain't been damned with y'all that took them on a barbecue or something, and you think that they could come and speak for the youth? No, I speak for the youth. And the youth that you had up here wasn't speaking for us. They were speaking good, and I appreciate what they was doing, and they were coached, but that wasn't a reflection of the youth that's been out here struggling. That wasn't the youth that was out here in these streets who are frustrated behind y'all police continuously brutalizing them. That's not a reflection of us. And every time you come here, you looking like you just, like we just in your way, like we just taking up too much of your damn time. You know what I mean? What district you work for? How can we vote you out? District 8?
Come down District 8.
Yeah, that's the arrogance. I knew it. That it'd come out because you show it every time you up here. You show it every time. You ain't got no shame in your game, do you? That's right. We'll see about that. We'll see about all y'all and your little jobs. You coming up here thinking you're doing something, and you think that when we come up here, a man's life was lost, and then when we come up here, you act like we're taking up your time, like we just in your way, like I wish they'd go, and you sit up here and rock. This is serious. Somebody's life was lost, and you ain't did nothing about it. The man is still on the police force right now. The man is still on the police force right now and went to the courthouse and sat up there and lied and got caught in a lie, and you still ain't did nothing. We want justice.
It's been said.
Shane?
I fully support everything that's been said. I fully support the resignation of Brooke Duggar. She doesn't want to resign, fire. I fully support the resignation of Chief G. Both of those today. If they don't want to resign, fire them. Tony Peroni, fire him. Make a political statement. Justice for Oscar Mercado.
Tommy Walker. Subject. This is for the police review stuff. Is this where you want to speak, or do you want to speak under the appropriate item? Because this isn't.
Well,
you're free to speak now.
Well, I really just would like to make an observation to what my people are saying out here. It is apparent to me as a result of my other problems with Bart that the board, and I'm very serious about y'all run and own BART. Y'all run BART. Y'all own BART. Y'all are elected. I voted for you. I voted for y'all. But what is really going on here is y'all have allowed the staff got the tail wagging the dog. That's all it is. The only trouble y'all got is y'all are allowing the staff to do things that they should not do, and without y'all guidance, they just run wild. That is why everybody's asking you to do what they're asking, because if y'all stepped up to the plate, the staff would understand that y'all ain't no joke.
That's right.
That's what needs to happen, regardless of everything else. My experience with this BART staff, one of his staff members sitting in this room, Mr. Parker, said to me, they don't run us. They can't tell us what to do. That's exactly what they say. I go to the meeting with them. I complained about it. They say, they can't tell me what to do. And I know you might shake your head, Mr. Bullock, but believe me, the only problem that y'all have, these people sitting right out here, because if y'all had stepped up to the plate and said, everybody on the platform is fired until we get it straight, they wouldn't even be here. But you got them up here now, and you ain't going to be satisfied until something goes real wrong. And everybody then said, oh my God, I didn't know he had an AK-47. That's what happened. That's the end result of all of this madness. Because you won't do nothing until something bad happens.
Archbishop King?
I'm not going to say good morning because I didn't see any of you respond to anyone else saying good morning, but I guess thank you for the opportunity to speak to Justice Oscar Brown. You know, this is a two-headed dragon that we need to spread here. I'm listening to what Brother Walker had to say concerning Bart really, this board really stepping up to the plate and acting on its authority. If, in fact, you are in charge and have a certain amount of authority, it should have been activated by now, and justice could be moving forward. When you think about a man being murdered on a public transportation by the folks that are paid to protect him, and then you have the governing body of this board to do nothing, absolutely nothing to check that, it suggests that Bart is not sincere in its atoning process. And I think that what the other part of this drag is it that black folks, all we can do is ride on these trains and be subjected to vicious kind of attacks by law enforcement, but at the same time, we cannot be certified to have contracts to work and build, even though the state requires that minorities have a certain amount of the contracts. It seems to me that you're stuck in the mud in terms of moving, and you're allowing the police chief and others that should be subjected to you to move as they will. The same thing with Mr. Walker saying you have staff people that are discertifying black folks that are concerned about being a part of the building and the furthering of the part process. Now, if it be that Ms. Jones, who we know in the community to be one that would be responsible for not only benefiting this the county of San Francisco and other counties with the construction of that contract, but would also include that minorities would be working. We are tired of just being subjected to pushing wheelbarrows and waving flags and water hoses. We're the same people that built the pyramid. Surely we can build a railroad track and do things of this nature. So what I would want to ask you, first of all, to stand with those voices that have come and are demanding that Chief G and these other rogue police officers that are involved in gang activity against youth of this community be fired. And I find it almost impossible to come up with a reason why you wouldn't do that, except that maybe you have some other political ambitions that you would want to capitalize on after your tenure here is over. But let me remind you that this community will dog your trail wherever you go, And wherever you try to make some kind of furtherance of your career, if your career continues to speak to doing nothing, to speak to justice to poor, black, and oppressed people, if you stand around and do nothing, it means that you're giving consent to the police and to your staff members to decertify people that are qualified to take care of some business. Thank you very much.
Dr. Lewis?
Good morning. As you can see, the atmosphere here is very ignited. And they're ignited for a reason. And the hard work of the 8 months that we pushed through, barring the press conference, even though I wasn't with the group that was here, my whole body, mind, and spirit was with the group. And I was asked to stand for the group. Because for the grace of God, go I or my grandson. So I was here for the press conference. And I've been here for the city of Oakland. This is my home. And just because you don't see me in the trenches, contrary to someone's belief, I'm just as hurt and disorganized and disenfranchised from what happened to Oscar Grant. So I'm a little bit on the other side of that diamond. Haven't been shown yet, haven't been shined yet, but I truly stood up there for the world to see that we are very learned, intelligent, and well-spoken people. And with that said, whoever saw me at that press conference know that I'm rooted in the blood of the world, the African-American people. So I'm a little bit part of the diamond in the rough. Just because you didn't see me, that does not mean you're not my people and what I love and how I want to exhibit my love. I'm an intelligent person with a lot to give to the community on all things. I don't always have to be seen in order to have the water running very deep. So I'm a little bit upset with some of the members that have come up here to say that I'm not as heartfelt and as deep and steeped in the blood of Oscar Grant crying from the ground on how to survive this particular incident. So please forgive me as I bring it back to what we want to do with Assembly Bill 16. And I would like to read it so people would understand it. And I want to know if this, what was put out on the table, is what has been changed for Sunbury Swanson's bill. Is this correct?
I'm under the impression that it is, but I haven't seen what staff's put on the back table. So it is the correct language that we're asking to be inserted into AB 16,
right? Right, with one sentence struck out.
Okay, is the strikeout already done, or are people reading the original form?
They're reading the original form with a sentence that's to be eliminated with a strikeout in it.
Let me be very clear. AB 312 has been in dormant since April. It had no intent of being rekindled for what we were trying to do. Let me be very clear. I stand here as the California Council of Churches General Secretary, and I'm an advocate and an advocacy person on the Sacramento State Capitol. Elizabeth Scholes is my point person. She's right now in the midst of making sure that the wording is correct and sent out to the right people. We represent 1.7 million people, and all of them hard. Is right here standing with me today. So as I read for the public, so we can get the blood of Oscar Grant to be answered, please be mindful that the whole world is watching. We are on YouTube every day. The people of the state of California, as amended by Sandra Swanson, I assembly person, AB 12, AB 16, section 2876.8, is added to the Public Utility Code to read as follows. 28767.8, the board may establish an Office of Independent Police Auditor, which we asked for, reporting directly to the board to investigate complaints filed by the members of the public against district police officers. In other words, if the Citizen Oversight Committee gets a complaint,
I'm sorry. One of the things that I know you're doing, and it's real important, Dr. Lewis, is to make sure that people understand this, but I'm going to have staff actually go through and explain it as well.
Would you please?
Yes.
Thank you.
That will be done.
And with that said, I want everyone here to know, I'm in the trenches on a different level, and I'm going to turn around and speak to the community that said that I was not involved. I've been involved since January 1, but I got the call. As the African-American Archbishop, when that bullet went in, it went through all of us.
Dr. Lewis, I can certainly appreciate how you're feeling right now.
I'm standing here and have been called for the press conference. Because you didn't see me does not mean my blood and my tears.
You have been working with the subcommittee. That part, being a member of the subcommittee, I'm fully aware of, and I was going to state that and also speak to the other two ministers who showed up who weren't part of our subcommittee work, but you aren't one of those two ministers. So please understand.
And I want the same thing. I want the general manager fired. I want the police chief fired. And I want it done right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Rose. Nice, Joshua.
Good morning. This is the first time I've been here. I'm here because I have a 13-year-old son, and I've been going to the town hall meetings on Saturdays since this has happened. And one of the most touching moments in that meeting was when Oscar's mother, they did a DVD, and she said, I told him when he was going to San Francisco, don't drive. If you and your friends are going to be drinking, don't drive. Take BART. I was literally emotionally crippled in that moment. Here was a mother who told her child the best advice that she could have told him. Don't endanger other people's lives. You're having fun. Take BART. Because BART is the safest means of transportation that you can take. Because BART has the most excellent service. This is what a mother told her baby. And on the day after her birthday, her baby is dead from being on BART. I have to come up here shaking and whatever because this could be my child. In essence, he really is.
That's right.
And, you know, maybe this is a feel like this is going to go away.
No.
Oh, Lord. This is so not going to go away. I don't know how this thing is going to pan out, but I think of, you know, situations like Pharaoh, Roman Empire.
All right, preach.
So on, you don't even have to be into scriptures to understand how these things play out. All you have to do is just read man-made history books. People are asking for resignations. These people are going to be, they're going to be gone anyway. Bart is plummeting so bad, she's like the head coach for the Raiders or something. She's going to be gone. It's going to happen. And I am sure that many of you, and she feels it, she knows it, and I'm sure that many of you want G gone yesterday. I know in your heart of hearts, you want him gone. And I don't know what the political, you know, what's that, stronghold. But that's what this is all about. This is all about stronghold. You all are sitting there, and I don't know what you're fearing. I don't know what you're afraid of. But I am up here, because I have a lot of fear too. But fear is the false evidence appearing real. And if you guys would just stand up, what is it, too much like right, we say, in our community, and fire these people, put these people on unpaid suspension, this would
send a message.
It would send a message. Because the message, the consequences are coming, irregardless of whether you fire them or whether you're not. What this is all about is your legacy. Your legacy to your children, to your family,
for your political career.
Right.
Madoff thought he was getting away too.
That's right.
Just think about it. It's about your legacy, your future, and this is all on record. What you do in this situation, you think, I mean, this happened for a reason, for a rhyme and a reason. And it is going to come to fruition. She will be gone. Chief G will be gone. And I know you want that man gone. Tony Brown, he's already gone. In terms of when he goes, it's all of them are gone. When they go to sleep at night, if they do, they already done. Thank you. Thank you. I have no more blues.
Francis Hughes?
That's
I'm so sorry.
I mean, I would thank you for the time, but we have to stand up to get you guys to listen to us, so I don't know if that's really appropriate. So I just wanted to talk today. I mean, people have laid out a lot of the general things, but I want to talk to the specifics of this Myers-Navi report. We really need a press conference on this. If you don't do it, we're going to do it, because, you know, this is something you as the board commissioned for yourself. And you can see, I mean, let's just quote from it. During the New Year's Day incident, the lasers on the tasers were often pointed in unsafe directions. The safety rules for firearms also apply to tasers and must be followed. So, you know, to decode this from the sort of legalese, this is when Tony Peroni was on the train platform, you know, pointing the taser at innocent people, right? Okay, so next, it also says, it remains unclear if the right persons were detained. Right, so we have this police murder, we have police brutality, police beating suspects, and they don't even know if they have the right people. I mean, this is ridiculous. Okay, thirdly, officers should not view the video of an incident prior to being interviewed. Allowing involved officers to view video prior to an interview allows them to either subconsciously fill in the blanks where there are no memories of the incident or pre-plan for alibis for sustained conduct. Now, this is a bit of a funny one, because we know from the trial that the officers they don't have alibis. They've even lied. The judge has even pointed out the differences between the video evidence and what the officers are saying. So it's not like they're so cocky, they don't even think they need to have alibis. They just sort of lie straight up and are contradicted by the judge showing them the video evidence. Okay, the next part I want to talk about is detention methods, because the report talks about detention methods. And it says, the detainees in the New Year's Day incident described being held in police cars, offices, and or cells for extended period of time. They have, as a group, all opined that they were in handcuffs for between 4 and 6 hours. If true, this is far too long to be handcuffed. The detainees also said that they were told when interviewed that they were not under arrest and were free to go, and yet they were put in handcuffs for 4 to 6 hours. Now, you know, let's give names to these men. Their names are Jackie Bryson, Nigel Bryson, John Tu, Mike Greer, Mario, Jamil, Sapina, June, Chris, and Carlos Riggs. You know, these are people who watched their friend get murdered, and then they were held in handcuffs as if they were criminals. This is ridiculous. You need to fire the people who are responsible for these specific...
Good morning, directors. We have the first two items, maintenance program, time of day, and then we would certainly be happy to have a question.
They are Tony Peroni, Marisol Dominici, Chief G, and Dorothy Duggar. If you don't do that, you know, we as a community, we have no faith in you if you do not do these things. Thank you.
I have no other blue sheets to speak on this particular item. I did see Public Utilities Commissioner Tim Simon come in, and you had two items that you were going to address. One was a teen extreme, which if you've looked at the agenda, you probably think it's coming up soon, and it's not. We took things out of order. If you wanted to take the opportunity now, it would be the appropriate time to do it, because we're going to be a minute getting to what you want to talk about, but it's also police related.
Pardon me, then would that apply to me as well, to be able to discuss this?
Yeah, your item is actually going to be coming up again as well. So if you want to talk about it later, he hasn't had an opportunity to speak yet, Mr. Walker. You have. And technically, I would have told you to put your card in on this item because of the time constraints.
Good morning, and let me say that any time I can be put before Charlie Walker, I'm definitely riding in high cotton. I really appreciate it. I'm Timothy Allen Simon, as you know. I'm one of five California Public Utilities Commissioners, and I'm honored to have the oversight authority of your station safety, as well as your rail crossings and other applied state and federal safety measures. I come here in an official capacity, but I also come here as a parent. I believe it's your last meeting. My daughter, Sophia Simon, spoke to you about her experience with the Teen Extreme program, something that gives me great concern. Let me first say that to witness the level of due process that you have here, to witness the level of passion and commitment and advocacy that I've just heard, I think all of you are very honored to serve in the capacity of the position you do. This is the public forum at its pinnacle, and I just want to compliment you on the level of free speech and expression that occurs at this meeting. This is something you should embrace more at the California Public Utilities Commission, where we have a much more controlled public comment period. My daughter, who spoke here, as I mentioned, Sophia, is the class of 2010 president of Skyline High School. She is also all OAL middle blockers, varsity volleyball player for the championship Skyline Titans. She's an AP honors student, and at the incident in question, she was on her way to her calculus class at Laney College. She was stopped by two of your officers and questioned under your protocol involving your student discount program. She was held for 10 minutes approximately and subsequently was late for class. After her ID was verified by the two officers in question, they began to question her on how she had received the student discount card. In my honest evaluation, as a commissioner, as an attorney, as a law professor, as a parent, and as a patron of your system, the moment her ID was verified in front of other students, in front of other passengers, she should have been released. But she was not. The questioning continued on how, as a Skyline student with a California ID and a Skyline student body card, how did she obtain the student discount ticket? I was infuriated. That's my baby girl. I'm a parent. One thing leads to another.
Right, tell her.
I called the next week when I saw the incident.
that the eloquent speakers have spoken about. One thing leads to another.
Tell it.
When I regulate those of you who have certificates of public convenience and necessity, one thing I look at is what is the level of racial toxicity that exists in the organization. My daughter was held after her ID was verified. That's false imprisonment. One second of detention that's unwarranted denies the constitutional freedom of your passengers. I brought the matter to BART Board Director Sweet. And yes, she is my friend, and I'm very honored by that friendship. But let me tell you something, that's a large club. There's no exclusivity. Excuse me, it's not exclusive. She's a public servant, she's an elected official. I'm also friends with James Fenn. I'm also friends with Carol Ward Allen. I'd love to be friends with all of you. So my concern is there seems to be a level of suspicion regarding my daughter having this student discount card because of my expressed friendship with Director Sweet. I was contacted by a Sergeant Kwan and asked to meet on July 23rd. I met with Sergeant Kwan and Sergeant Huff. It was clear by the tone of the meeting that the intent was to establish that your officers were correct and my daughter was wrong.
Oh, real good.
They handed me a June 6, 2000 executive decision document regarding the teenage student discount, which had been pre-highlighted. I had given it to BART Board Director Sweet. You saw her hand it back to me when I came to the meeting. And the highlighted sections were designed to emphasize, and by the way, this meeting was taped, so I encourage all of you to listen to the tape. I ask you to listen to the tone and the tenor. I'm asking you to listen to a meeting that could have been resolved in about 30 seconds. Mr. Simon, Commissioner Simon, I've given them my business card. We regret the incident, but this is a procedure that we have. And I'm going to get to this procedure because I think it needs to be placed in question. Okay. But basically what Sergeant Huff and Sergeant Kwan wanted to emphasize to me is that under your teenage student discount program and under other programs where the disabled, the elderly, receive discounts for purposes that I commend you for. You know, my children have held AC Transit student discount tickets, Municipal Railway student discount tickets. They've never been questioned by the police as students with backpacks and books for using those tickets.
True.
But I was told by your sergeants that your station agents have asked that these armed officers, like we see in this room here today, that these armed officers question students about their use of the ticket. Now, as I mentioned, I'm a law professor, and one of my students, an LLM student, was beaten and robbed across the street from your Fruitvale station. He contacted me, he was aware of the fact that I'm the former appointment secretary for Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he was very impressed with the Oakland Police Department officer that helped him across the street from your Fruitvale station. I contacted Public Safety Secretary Tom Sawyer, who many of you know, and we were able to, the governor recognized that particular officer. But the question I have to ask here, and I know that there may not be sufficient nexus, but just for hypothetical purposes, how can you allocate the resources to have two armed officers questioning a student on her way to a calculus class, and one of your passengers is beaten and robbed across the street from the Fruitvale station? See the concern that I have here on how you're allocating your resources? Now, in my meeting with Sergeant Kwan and Sergeant Huff, we discussed the legalities of this process. Now, I want to make myself perfectly clear. I think it's important for this discussion. I'm a law and order Republican. I want my streets safe. I want BART stations safe. And I understand that your officers are sworn and have a right to protect the passengers. You will never have any opposition from me on this. But it appears that this questioning that occurs, that students sign to, or their parents sign to, when you expanded the program, if you are going to make random stops at students, and I want to talk to the officers here. If you're going to make random stops of students, do not give them the presumption of guilt. If this is an audit process, if it's like a TSA official at the airport saying, okay, you've been picked, we're going to make sure that you're not a terrorist, step over here. They have the decency, the civility to explain this. No one ever gave an explanation to my daughter that that stop in questioning was part of a larger audit process, a process that I don't condone, by the way. So that's what I mean when we talk about racial toxicity. An organization that serves as many people of color that you serve should have incorporated in your procedures certain methods when you stop people of color. I was held for 30 minutes in Vacaville driving a state car by an officer. Now, we all know why. I'm not going to stand here like Professor Skip Yates. We know why I was held. We know that it is a common practice in law enforcement. It is something that we disdain. It is something that we try to remove. But for some reason, it has a way of just permeating and matriculating through the process. And that is why you need oversight of this type of conduct. So, in my meeting with Sergeant Kwan and Sergeant Huff, it was apparent to me, as they stated, that the issue was how my daughter had received the student discount. Their position was that she received a student discount because of my friendship to Director Sweet, and that would include the entire Bayview Hunters Point community, most of San Francisco and the greater Bay Area. As was explained to me, you voted to expand the program to students that are not amongst the subscribing schools as long as they had a signature from the parent. In my discussion with General Manager Duggar, she, and by the way, thank you. You were the first voice, besides Director Sweet, you were the first voice of compassion and understanding that I heard. I asked the question, don't you have better materials than a Xerox or photocopied, outdated memorandum? And she verified that you do. You have numerous marketing materials that are designed to encourage those that are of low income or students or disabled to utilize your service. So the question becomes then why? Why was it so critical for these officers to establish my relationship with Director Sweet if you in fact had voted to expand the program? And she was compliant of the program. Her stepmother had signed the online document and mailed it in, and her ID was verified. Now, to many, you might be saying, why is this man taking up so much time behind one student being held for 10 minutes? Because it's wrong, one, and it's indicative of an attitude that exists within the organization. And the officers here are served better. They would have a better relationship with the community here if you took more time.
Come on.
If you ensured that your general manager and your chief took more time so that they understand that when someone gets off a BART train at the Lake Merritt station during the summer, and because of school cutbacks, because of public school cutbacks, a number of junior and seniors now have to take their summer school classes at community colleges.
Right.
Your officers should have known this.
That's right.
And then they would understand that we're going to have a high volume of student pass-carrying passengers coming through this station because it adjoins a community college.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly they were not. And during the meeting, my daughter became very frustrated. And if you listen to the tape, you will hear her say that the sergeants were not trying to find a resolution. They were simply trying to prove that they were right.
Oh, yeah.
And your documents, in my discussion with your general manager and Director Sweet, clearly establishes that I don't think they were right. They might not have been absolutely wrong. But if any of you are endorsing this procedure, if any of you are endorsing the process that students whether they be white or of color, can be stopped randomly and questioned without an explanation of the program and why they're being questioned by two armed peace officers. Please speak now. Tell me that this is a program that you endorse, because I have a problem with it. And it will be a subject to me when I review your triennial safety station plan, because the safety of the passengers in your stations include trying to prevent trauma. The trauma that the passengers suffered who witnessed that unfortunate incident on January 1st.
Yes,
that trauma can be as debilitating as a physical injury.
Come on, stop.
As you can see, I'm pretty worked up about this.
And Commissioner Simon, I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to ask you. Well, it's been up for a little while, but I just need you to wrap it up before final comments.
So in closing, thank you, Director Stewart. I was told that I would receive a report of the incident and the meeting that I participated in. I have not, and for reasons that I don't know. I've tried not to make this an official inquiry, because I truly believe that the magnitude of matters that you're dealing with right now as a governing board, that this is a matter that could be resolved in a summary fashion and not require an investigation on my part. But I would like to see the report. I would like to have at least a staff member review the tape of the meeting. And I would like to hear from this board that your Teen Extreme program and the officers who enforce its integrity or accountability receive the appropriate training on how to deal with students in a fashion that does not humiliate or traumatize them for participating in the program. Thank you very much.
I still have no blue cards, no other blue slips. So is there anyone else who'd like to speak? If not, we're going to close the public comment period on the police oversight item. I'm sorry. There seem to be hands going up again.
Can
Sherry,
I make,
Dr.
Can I make a 30-second closing comment?
It would be highly irregular, and if you don't mind, we'll make the exception for Dr. Tasker to close this out for us. Is that okay?
It is my request that, in light of the fact that the board has heard so much of restraint and yet emotional comment today, and that the fact that this has gone on as long as it is, can we get a response from the board on the issue of priority of resignations?
I would have to defer that, but if I were going off of just what we've been, just some personnel issues and how those can't be made public. One of the constraints that we've been working under, and I think you've all heard this since January, is a police officer's bill of rights and what rules we're governed by when it comes to that. So with respect to any personnel action, we pretty much know as much as you do. I mean, the public report that everyone keeps referencing from Myers-Navé, that's all this board has been able to do as well. So,
are you saying that the board does not have the authority to fire Rodney Duggar?
As of today, the board does not have the power to fire anyone except for Dorothy Duggar. But it's not an agenda. I was going to say that, President Blaylock, that we can't do any personnel actions today based on them not being on a publicly noticed agenda. But Dorothy Duggar is the only member. We have four board-appointed officers that we have the sole responsibility over, but only those four.
Is there any process that we as a community should follow in order to get the board to give us a more substantive response to the issue of suspension of involved officers and or firing of Police Chief G and General Director Blaylock?
No, President Blaylock.
Well, that was Freudian. Maybe it's time for you to go to... I'm sorry. But general manager, is that a fact?
General counsel, I need you to weigh in on this because personnel rules aren't my...
Thank you.
If I understand your question correctly, and what you're asking for is a way to find out the status of any officers, the Peace Officer Bill of Rights protects their personnel information. What a member of the public may always do is come to the public comment, or you may make a Public Records Act request for information. But as far, and we've talked, not you and I personally, but in these board meetings since January 1st, unfortunately the board here is extremely constrained in the information they can get and the information they can release about the employment status or personnel status of police officers, because there is a Peace Officer Bill of Rights that protects that information. So you can ask a question, and the board or I would consider the question and answer whatever portion of it we can, but I'm just giving you a straight up heads up.
So just to clarify for the community, because this is a pressing issue for us, is Dorothy Duggar the only person in this room who has the capacity to fire a police officer?
The way the BART Act is written is it the general manager and the chief of police officer.
Okay, can she do it independent of the police chief?
She is the big boss. The chief of police is responsible for the police department, so my answer to you without speaking for the general manager is it would be done in conjunction, any employment actions. But she is the chief of police boss.
And does... Is she the only one who has the authority to fire the police chief?
Yes.
And who has the authority to fire Dorothy Duggar?
The board of directors has the authority to fire four people here at the district. The general manager is one, I am one, the district secretary is one, and controller treasurer is the fourth.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to open it up for board questions right now. Director Franklin.
Thank you. Another request from speakers today was to have a press conference addressing the Myers-Navi report. And as one director, I think that's a great idea. It shows deficiencies of how are we going to be dealing with that as an organization. I think that's really important for us to do. And I respectfully... Chair Lord Allen is not here, but perhaps through her committee or through, I guess you are the ranking member, that to bring that up and to have some public statement about how we're going to be addressing the shortcomings discovered in that report.
Director Franklin, thank you for that. Director Sweet, if I may, just to clarify for the board and for the public, Director Ward Allen and I did hold a press briefing, I don't have the date in front of me, I believe it was Tuesday, a week ago, release the public report from Myers-Navi. We issued a written press release as well as met with the press to summarize the findings of the study and some initial responses from by BART. Included among those was, as I have discussed with the board previously, my direction to the chief to develop within 30 days a action plan for implementation of the recommendations of the Myers-Navi report, as well as to underscore the four areas where, prior to receipt of the report, the department has already begun action in the vein of some of the recommendations around update of policies and procedures around improvements and strengthening to the use of force policies and procedures, and particularly around increasing the training that is delivered to the officers in the department on an annual basis that has been incorporated into our current FY10 budget. And I believe copies of that press release are also posted on the website, but I would look to our public information officer to confirm that. But I believe that is also posted.
Well, Dorothy, that's great information. I'm glad that happened. But it seems that
whatever we did a week ago Tuesday was insufficient, that whatever word got out about the Myers now being released and what we plan on doing didn't reach the ears that need to hear it. So I'm willing to work with you, Bob, and whoever to put something else together that would be a little bit more in line with what people are asking for, and that is a full-scale press conference pretty much on the order of what we attempted on Monday to talk about civilian oversight. And I think going forward, not just Myers-Nave, but even for the Mueller report, the community is totally interested in these things. So we need to make sure that people know. And it's great that we put out press releases, but it's not always the written press release that papers are going to pick up. So we need to move it just a little bit.
Certainly happy to work with you to do more. I just want to clarify that we did meet with the press. It was not just issuing a press release. We held a press briefing with members of the media present to.
Oh, he was.
So I'm not saying we should continue to work. But
No. But I think we just need to keep.
But there was
as much dialogue as possible.
To answer that question, there was some effort, but I agree with you.
Any other directors? Director Dulovich, thank you.
Just a few comments. First of all, on the legislation at hand, you know, as a member of the police review subcommittee and then also working with the folks on the community trying to craft this model, we went to Sacramento and we said, look, we want the whole model. What we got was this, and it implements an important piece of the model, which is would allow us to create the independent auditor's office, but we're not done. What I want to say to folks in the community is if we want the full model that we have, if we want a role in discipline for board of directors, for the auditor, or for the civilian review body, any of those bodies, it's going to be an uphill fight in Sacramento, and we're going to need your help. And so I hope AB 16 passes this year, but if AB 16 passes, we're not done. And we need to go back next year and seek the rest of the legislation that will get this model in place. The other thing I would say is there's a real difference between the model that we proposed and AB 312. And frankly, this is one thing that's been hanging us up in Sacramento. Our model proposed, and I've heard the speaker say to this too, that the board of directors, people elected representatives, should be involved, you know, kind of as a final appeal on the discipline process. Another model, of course, San Francisco or Los Angeles, where discipline handled by an appointed commission, a civilian review board. The third model that proposed by AB 312 is that an auditor appointed by the three DAs of the counties, not really accountable to the board of directors, nor a civilian review board, that auditor do the final determinations on discipline. So we've got two very different models sort of in Sacramento, the one that we've proposed, and then the one in AB 312. So we need to reconcile that because we're not going to get what we want next year if the Bay Area delegation isn't united, if we're not asking for the same thing, because it is going to be an uphill battle. We've been told that this is precedent setting, and it's true. There is no civilian review model anywhere in the state that does involve the elected board of directors. As I mentioned, Los Angeles, San Francisco do involve appointed citizen board, but it's not the elected directors. Also, those are all charter cities. They're not creatures of the state in the same way the part is. So I think, as you've heard, the responses from members of the board here, from our legal counsel, you know, this board kind of looks powerful, and you're within your rights to yell at us. But I just want to tell you what we can do in a lot of areas is very, very constrained. We're a creature of state law. And the state, when it set up this part district, chose to really constrain what this board can do. So a lot of the this kind of staff-driven organization that you see, that's because state law says it ought to be that way. So we're going to work with you to do everything we can to change that and to create an accountable model. And so I think if AB 16 passes, we're going to have a piece of this. And then I look at the Myers-Nave investigation, and I'm like, and I think it's encouraging to me, actually, that this is if we have the civilian review at BART, this is sort of what should be happening. Is have an independent body, and they would do an investigation of the specific incident, which they did do, and then that would inform the disciplinary process. The other piece, though, that we've insisted on is that they would review all the policies, procedures, etc. So what Myers-Nave did was look at a snapshot, all the policies and procedures at BART that existed on January 1. Were those policies and procedures everything they should have been? Myers-Nave report was pretty unequivocal. No. Were those policies and procedures followed? No. So we have findings, and that will improve policing. I read that Myers-Nave report, and I say, all right, what went on that platform that night, if that report is correct, put the public in danger, put police officers in danger. So we need to fix what's wrong with the department in terms of policies and procedures and so on. So as to Director Franklin's point, you know, again, I was hoping that we would have the Civilian Review Board, the auditor, up and running and in place. They could work with us on the follow-up steps, so what policies, procedures, et cetera, need to change. If that doesn't happen soon enough, and I don't think it's going to happen soon enough, then we as a board, I think, need to take that up. So one or more sort of probably hearings of our police review subcommittee, let's go through those Myers-Nave recommendations one by one. Let's hear from the police department their opinion on what's happening there, what they're going to do to fix that, or what they've already done. As I said, that was a snapshot of what happened on January 1, so some action's been taken. So I don't speak for the whole board here, but I have to say to my colleagues, I was very pleased to see the unanimous vote in support of the police review model that we've done and asking for these legislative changes in Sacramento. I'm very pleased and thankful for Assemblyman Swanson for, with 2 weeks left in the legislative session, with the legislature very distracted, he's going to try and create some essential pieces of this model. But simply say that with AB 16, we're not done. And let's get this done this year, but let's work in the beginning of next year to get that other piece, the discipline piece. We're going to need your help, and we're going to need your help getting the whole Bay Area delegation together around the same model, because I don't want to, you know, say too much about the legislature, but you know, the fact that you know, there are these different opinions that weakened us in Sacramento, and we need to get everyone together behind the same model.
Director Fang.
Yes. I agree. Microphone. I agree. We also have a component with Noble, their recommendation of the entire police department. And so while I understand that sometimes BART seems as if it is intransient, it is actually we're doing a lot to look at the whole situation. I understand the frustration, I clearly do, but we are trying to make it very thorough going forward. The second thing, I just have a question for Ms. Hamill. So right now, is there an action before the board?
No, this is information only.
So the board motion that we passed to you to bring to Sacramento included, in essence, board oversight on the over the discipline.
Yes.
So the question now is, and even though it's just information, unless we take an affirmative action to remove that sentence or approve that removal of that sentence, the bill stays the way it is, the basic intent of this board.
We were told by
the question was, is that true?
We wouldn't have had a bill introduced if we had decided to stay with the original language without that omission.
So I'm just trying to get clear on procedure, and I'm not trying to.
Right.
So the board, unanimous vote of that board, is to include oversight on the discipline portion of the police department, you know, discipline portion.
Right.
So Assemblyman Swanson said, well, I can do it, but you have to take out that one piece.
He said, I won't do it unless you take it out.
And what did we say?
And members of the oversight committee were polled and said that they wanted to go forward.
Okay. Well, and so I'm not sure where we are in what procedure in place, but I know what I voted for, which was oversight by the board. And so I appreciate all the great work that the oversight committee has done, But since I don't know exactly where we are, I'm not sure if that goes up. Yeah, I don't know where we are. That my question is more procedural than it is, substantive.
If I might add, what is that main concern? The entire committee was not contacted, so I wasn't contacted.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I mean, this is kind of the first I heard of it. So I'm not sure where we are. I mean, do we have a bill? Do not have a bill? I have no idea. And do we have a bill that the board passed, or do we have a bill that maybe the board didn't actually pass on specifically? Not to say that wasn't subject for discussion. I'm just trying to figure out what the procedure is here.
Procedurally, what the board did was authorize staff to go to Sacramento with specific language, which is this language without the struck-out sentence.
Without the struck-out sentence.
Staff did do that. Okay. What has happened since then, is my understanding, is Assemblymember Swanson has decided to introduce either a bill, AB 16, that is slightly different, that has a sentence taken out of it that we have heard about today. An assembly member has the power to do that.
My question is,
procedurally,
clearly they are supreme in their job so well up there in Sacramento.
Vice President Pang, just to answer your question, staff did what the board authorized it to do.
Okay. So I guess the question now I have is, obviously we can't do it now because we need some sort of notice, whatever. So if the board says no, if the board's vote, and it hasn't come back to the board to change that language officially, even though I understand the strong intent to get this process moving. I'm very clear on that and very sympathetic. Do we have to take another vote on that, or what do we have to do?
The board does not have the power to stop an assembly member from introducing a bill. AB 312 is an example of that. What the board could do, is the board could vote to oppose AB 16 if that's something the board wanted to do. But Assemblymember Swanson, on his own as a member of the assembly, may do the legislative work that he feels he wants to.
So, I see. So, in essence, we could continue to go forward with this bill, which was not the true intent of the BART board. Or we can vote to oppose the bill because it wasn't exact language. Basically, one of those two choices.
That's correct.
I just wanted to follow up on where we are as I went in February. Was that when you went? Tom Radulovich and I and Joel Keller went up and spoke with Amiano. We had, and some other legislators at the time, to set the wheels in motion and push for the implementation of changes that would allow BART to have more say over what we can do by changing the BART Act. And so I think we did the groundwork back then. There have been a couple of other forays to go up to Sacramento, and as the staff has done with the proposal that has become AB 16, although it loses a sentence that we had included in our work, it sounds to me like all that's happening is we're getting a two-step instead of a one-step. So if we get AB 16 this year, we can get our auditor in place and we can get our Citizen Oversight Committee all empowered by AB 16, and then we can come back next year and keep pushing for the rest of what the board voted for. Am I right on that? And the alternative was no bill goes forward this year, then we're stuck.
The board-directed goals remain the same. We made that very clear in Sacramento that we're going for all of this. We were told we cannot get the whole package this year in the next 5 or 6 days here.
So would you say we'll be lucky to get AB 16? Some waivers have to be done to get it through the process.
Hurdles.
Okay. From a strategic point, wouldn't it be easier to go in on one big shot as opposed to... I don't know anything about Sacramento. I'll never get there.
Well,
I'm just asking. Sorry.
I guess we can let staff answer the question as well. One question was, does part of this bill get us some of what we want immediately? And I think the ability of an auditor to do independent investigations, have them reviewed by the Citizen Commission, felt like something. It felt like a substantive piece of the model and a piece that the community has been waiting for. As to whether we could go with a clean bill next year, everything we wanted, well, first of all, there's no assurance that that bill would pass because the PORAC's opposition will be there next year, as it is to AB 312. So there's a chance we could end up with absolutely nothing if we go with everything we want in the bill, or get bargained back to this position and lose a year on independent auditor and police review. You know, and again, the other question, you know, we didn't find a sponsor for that bill. We would need a member of the legislature who would agree to carry that bill, and no one agreed to carry it. Assemblyman Swanson stepped up with this bill, which he felt was doable this year. So that's the political thing, is that there's no guarantee that if we wait a year, we'll get any further than we did this year, because that piece remains controversial. So, you know, I think it was my judgment, and it was the judgment of people who talked to the legislators and kind of knew sort of the way Sacramento works, that doing it in two pieces is probably a prudent move, because we at least get an important piece of this up and running. But, you know, again, it's the board's judgment. In a way, it's a political call. Do we want to take that risk? Or do we have some now and more later?
And Director Smith, if I may also just amplify, in addition to the investigatory role that Director Rudolovich identified, as Assemblyman Swanson is proposing, this bill would also have a role for the auditor and the citizen board in reviewing, recommending, and appealing disciplinary recommendations up to, as we've discussed quite comprehensively today, the general manager level. The one piece that is eliminated is the appeal to the board of directors. An important piece, I understand, but I did want to clarify that those initial roles in review and recommending and disagreeing with recommended discipline do exist even in this version.
And there will be a record of that. So we will be able to understand at the end of the year if recommendations that were made by the Civilian Review Board, by the Auditor for Discipline, whether those recommendations were enacted or not. So we will begin to understand. We can understand if there's a problem, if there's a continued pattern of the police chief always disagreeing or failing to enact the recommendations. We can't, again, speak to individual officers and individual cases, but we'll have that record. So, again, it's a piece of what we wanted. It's not all what we wanted, and we're not done. But I think it gets us an important piece. And yeah, that's just my judgment. Again, the board, we can take this out at the next meeting and say, you know, we want to pull the plug before it gets to the governor's desk, or is this the best course of action for us? And knowing what I know, and having been up there a few times this year to lobby, I feel like this is the best course of action for us.
And I just wanted to add one more thing. If we don't move this year right now and we begin the process again next year, best case scenario, if we get a bill, which is a difficult task, we wouldn't be able to implement it until 2011. We wouldn't be able to move forward with what we're trying to do until January 2011. So it's a huge amount of time further out that we would have to implement.
Thank you. Director Murray? I'm sorry. It's not that you guys look alike.
That's right.
Bob's look pretty.
Okay, anyway. So with the deletion of this one sentence, just as a point of clarification, the Citizen Review Board and the auditor's opinion can be overturned by the general manager. Is that correct?
Yes. Actually, no, that's incorrect. You said overturned.
Or
that only gets up to that level if there is dissension lower. It starts off with the auditor and the Citizens Review Committee recommending discipline be implemented. If the discipline is implemented, the general manager never sees it. So No, she doesn't just arbitrarily go in and say, I don't like what you did. Unless there's an appeal that reaches that level, she wouldn't even touch it. Or, I'm sorry, the general manager wouldn't even touch it.
So if there's a dispute, the final, with this sentence, that it stopped, that the highest appeal is with the general manager. Okay. And do you have, say, right now, can you fire a police officer?
The BART District Act vests the general manager with personnel decisions, with the exception of the four board appointed officers. That is delegated, but ultimately, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Now, Berkemer. I want to thank my fellow board members for making this clearer. Because when I listened to the community, it sounded as if they wanted us to go with Amiano's bill. But as you described it, Director Rodulovich, that's three DAs appointing the independent auditor and not having this board involved, which seems to me not to be what the community has been working on. And also, if we waited for Amiano's bill, as Mr. Fidelli just described, we wouldn't be able to implement something until maybe 2012, which does not at all seem like what the community wants. They want something now. So I think that even though this bill, that Assemblyman Swanson is not the perfect bill, it does seem like it is the one that will at least get us the civilian oversight and the independent auditor in the most timely way so we can get this process started, which everyone agrees has gone on too long, because we are constrained by law. We haven't had the opportunity to just take the actions that everybody wishes we could. So therefore, it seems to me that we, instead of opposing Assemblyman Swanson, we should be thanking him for stepping up to the plate and trying to get something for the community that he serves, instead of nothing, because no one else would help out. He's the only one who said he would help out. So I do appreciate that, and think that we should be thanking him for stepping up and hoping that he can move something forward.
Director and the partner, did you have anything else?
Well, I appreciate the clarification of this entire issue, and I'm in complete agreement with the summary that Director Murray just gave.
Director
Hine.
Yes, well, I would just say that one of the things that I like to preach, although maybe not in the same venue that others have, is accountability. And in the end, I think the BART Board is accountable. So, remember, we're not going to do anything about it today. It's kind of almost out of our hands. And I don't sense that anything else will be done. But I do think that in the end, it is the BART Board that is accountable. So, that's how it is.
Thank you. Any other comments? Well, then, if you don't mind, I'd like to make one about this, because I'm a little torn today, and I'm torn because I know what I want and I know why, but I also know that there should be this deep concern and trepidation about anything being cut from what it is we worked on. Now, having said that, in listening to some of the comments, it just struck me as kind of, who's trying to bring chaos into us getting this thing done? Minister Keith, you are real clear in saying, is BART sincere? You have sat in more meetings than almost anyone in this room about civilian oversight. BART is sincere. You were given some words about, here's the language that BART is choosing to insert into the BART Act, how we want to amend it. Why didn't it say we must do it? Well, if you notice, in the entire BART Act, there's nothing that says you must. It's authorizing language that allows us to move forward and get some things done. So what we were asking was the authorization, the unanimous vote by the BART Board to adopt the civilian oversight model that we all worked on was the basic rule. We just needed enabling language so that we could put that rule in place. And I'm sorry that somehow there was some either miscommunication or purposeful confusion put out there about what BART was trying to get done. That was never our intent. You, out of most people here, we know that authorizing legislation and authorizing language is what we need to look for in order to do what we wanted, or put the civilian oversight model in place. I keep talking, and I'm sorry, there was also a lot of mention about the press conference on Monday, and for me, I thought it was great that people were standing up and finally saying, let's do it. We need to get our legislators in Sacramento on board with us so that we can get something done. You are 100% correct. I counted two ministers who did show up to speak at that press conference. They were not on the agenda of speakers, and for whatever reason, we did allow those two ministers some time at the microphone. It's unfortunate that we allowed that to happen because it did give off the perception that we were padding this, but they showed up, they were here, and they stood up. So our chairman did allow them some microphone time. Those students from the Martin Luther King Freedom Center have been here every step of the way. And it was really wrong to hear people say that, where'd you get these kids from? These kids have been having police officers come to their homes to meet with their families. These kids have been working with our police department on trying to pull their circle of young people into the fold and learn what BART does and what BART's police department is doing. So there was nothing disingenuous about those children being there on Monday. And I hate that it was said that it looked like we were padding it with young people who aren't interested. They're totally interested, and they've been totally working with us. So that piece needed to just go away. Director Radulovich has talked about what we can get this year. I am not happy that politics makes strange bedfellows, and those strange bedfellows turned into PORAC deciding to help us, because it also gave off the impression that something might not be genuine in what it is we're trying to get done. That's not true. Their agenda may not be the same agenda that we're following. Our agenda is to get something concrete out where the community has a say-so in what we do here at BART. PORAC's agenda may be different than ours, but as long as their support can get us to our end line, I'm okay with that. I did not like having that one sentence taken out, but I also understood that without striking that one sentence, we would probably get nothing this year, and we would be back at the drawing board. Now, I have said, and I said it this past Saturday at the town hall meeting, we as a community do not have the luxury of waiting to put civilian oversight in place. And I keep saying this, but I haven't given you guys a real good reason why. When I say luxury, it means we don't have time. BART police did something on, I'm sorry, a BART police officer did something on January 1st that rocked this entire organization. You would think that what he did would have put this bright light on the police department and they would start doing all the right things for the right reasons just because that spotlight was on them. That has not been the case. I can't give a whole lot of details about what happened, but I can tell you that after Oscar Grant's death, we have had other instances here, one being a handcuffed young black man being tasered by one of our officers. Now, when you guys say, we need it all, yeah, we do need it all, but what we really need are those extra eyes on the BART police force. We need people who have no allegiance to BART or BART directors or BART police sitting there reviewing these cases. We don't need to continue letting our officers think that they can stay out there and do whatever they want. They can be judge, jury, and executioner out on the street without somebody else saying, this is wrong and it can't be done. We've got to get that in place right away. Even if we can sit the auditor this year and we can sit that civilian committee this year. Those folks are going to make a huge difference because it is unprecedented here at Bart, and it is something that we sorely need. We cannot afford to continue letting this sit, and we argue about semantics or who said what or who's going to carry the bill. The one thing you've got to keep in mind, Bart is not perfect, but we have held community meetings to talk about what it is we're trying to do. We have held community meetings to try to get input from the community on what it is everybody wants. It's been a give and take process, but at the end of the day, we came up with something that we feel, and on Monday, most of you also felt would work. Since then, you've gotten a lot of other things told to you about, here's what AB34 would really do. Here's what, just keep in mind, we talked to you about what it is we're trying to get done. We didn't just, in a vacuum, decide to do this. Another piece that you also got to keep in mind is that as our financial worries are right now, Bart took the extra step to put funding for the Police Review Committee in this fiscal year budget. That's just how committed and how serious we are about having it done. I'm not sure we'd be able to find funding within the state to do it, nor am I sure that the three counties that are being asked to be a part of this would be willing to look for funding within their counties to fund something that is really a BART problem, that is really a problem that we need to take care of. So I hope that if we do get AB 16 through and we're able to get our auditor and our civilian committee seated, that subcommittee that we have been working with, that subcommittee that put in so many hours, would also be willing to sit with us, continue sitting with us, continue working with us, because we still got a lot of work to do. When Tom talks about the policies and procedures that have to change, the subcommittee needs to be a part of that too. We know we're going to be looking for a new police chief soon. The subcommittee, we won't have our civilian bodies seated by December 30th, but we will still have those subcommittee bodies available to work with us on the next election. These are the things that we have to keep in mind and keep the process moving. Because one more time, we cannot afford, we don't have the luxury of not having something in place. The eyes that need to be on the BART Police Department needed to have been there on January 1st, needed to have been there since this whole thing started, and we can't keep playing this kick the ball game saying, let's do something else, and let's try something else. And I know I will be adaptable to whatever it is the community is asking for, but I'm hoping that you will understand that what we're trying to do, we are sincere about. And there may be some things that we don't like. There may be some things that we're going to have to change later on. But let us get to a point where at least we have something in place that we can work with and change. So that's all I have to say. And on that, I think this item is now closed.
Thank you.